You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I'm on the objective. Come join me.
And Daryl.
Oh, let's break it down!
Greetings and welcome to episode 195 of The Training Dummies, recorded on January 23rd, 2018. My name is Rob and I am hyped about Blizzard World. So much that you may have heard me say before that I dumped out my Battle.net balance to go buy Heroes loot boxes and I regretted that. So today I emptied out my Battle.net balance on Overwatch loot boxes. Yay!
Nice. There you go.
I don't know why I did it, though, because I had a lot of currency. I had probably, I don't know, like 11 or 12,000 of whatever it is. Blizzard credits. Overwatch credits. I don't even know what they're called. But I was like, oh, I need to buy a bunch of loot boxes, right? So I can get skins. And I didn't get any of the new skins, so I just used my currency and went and bought the ones that, that I wanted. It was fine. It's fine. I don't regret it. Battle for Azeroth isn't coming out anytime soon, so we're all good. So with me tonight is my bro host Daryl. How you doing, man?
I am doing good. I have the last two Tuesdays actually I was curling before we recorded. My wife is in a beginner league. My boys joined the beginner league first, and then all the moms decided they were going to put a team in. So there's four boys and then four moms, but one of the moms is going through physio right now, so she couldn't curl, so I've been filling in the last 2 weeks.
Wait, that's where you're like scrubbing the ice to make the little
sweeping the ice. Oh my gosh. You throw these giant rocks down, you know, a giant sheet of ice. So yeah, that's what I've been doing the last 2 weeks, on Tuesday evenings, filling in for the one mom who can't make it. And yeah, I'm still just as terrible as I was in grade 11. So nothing's changed in 25 years. She's probably more than 25 years now.
Jeez. That's kind of amazing. I would, you need to get some of this on video. Oh, it needs to happen.
Right.
Well, the lovely voice that you're hearing in the background here, and the reason I was talking about Overwatch at the top of the show is because we are joined tonight by the wonderful Sabriel.
Hello. Thank you so much for, oh my goodness. My ego just increased in size 3 times.
It's real. It's real. Thank you so much.
Oh. I want to talk more about curling.
Curling, all
we
right.
We can. Yep, yeah. Episode 195.5 is all, we can record that one in a bit, I guess. I don't know. Forget Overwatch, you know, let's just talk about curling.
I haven't played curling since high school, same as you, Daryl, but I loved it. So much fun.
I know. Now, as we were leaving today, my wife's like, you want to play some more, don't you? I'm like, kind of, maybe. She's like, maybe we should join a couples league or something. I'm like, maybe. So we'll see.
Do they have that? Like, that sounds very Canadian.
It probably is. Like, even when we're leaving, like, there's a league that starts up at, like, we're done at 7:30 and the next group that's there is at 8 o'clock, and we've seen people we know there, like my daughter's piano teacher is in the 8 o'clock, you know, league that starts then. Her and her husband are on a team with one of the teachers from my wife's school, too. So it's like, we all know people doing this, too. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe.
That's
maybe
what all the cool Canadian kids are doing.
Yes, they are. And actually, my son, my 14-year-old, he's actually really good. Like, he's doing really well. And I think he might have found his sport, actually. So it's good.
That's so cool.
It's all good.
Well, Sabriel, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background with gaming in Blizzard and Overwatch and what you're doing in the community now?
Yeah, I suppose we can continue on my introduction, huh?
I mean, we can do, and your involvement in curling, I guess. Your weekly curling community podcast.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I am Sabriel Maston, and I work on a website called Overbuff, which does Overwatch statistics, where you can see how you're comparing to the rest of the Overbuff population. But that is getting ahead of myself. My start with Blizzard, oh my goodness, I first started playing Blizzard games. I mean, I guess I could say Rock and Roll Racing was my very first Blizzard game.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I used to rent that for my Super Nintendo so much. That was the music and like Born to be Wild in MIDI format was like on repeat in that game. And oh man, I'm having flashbacks now to how much I used to play that. Okay, but well, back then Blizzard was known as Silicon and Synapse. So that's a deep cut there.
Yeah, it is. But, wow.
yeah, not many people have reached that far back into the vault. So.
Oh my goodness! Well, then I'm honored to be in that group. But then I went on to start playing Warcraft 2 with my friends. Warcraft 2 was a big game in my was it middle school. Would that be?
Oh, now I feel real.
I think it was middle school. Yeah, that sounds about right. Because we would do dial up late night, probably till 1 o'clock in the morning, a lot playing Warcraft against the computer. And oh, those are good times. Then I went on to StarCraft, which is really cool. I was always terrible at it. Basically, my version of playing StarCraft is playing house, where I have all these nice little buildings, and then all of a sudden, wait, my guests are here early. I'm not ready for them. They just tear up the place. That's my style of StarCraft.
Nice. I like it.
And then, let's see, Diablo. I didn't get into Diablo until Diablo 3. I played Diablo 1 and 2 here and there with friends, but they never really got me hooked. I was never really big on those. But Diablo 3, I still play that periodically here. And then StarCraft 2 came out. Oh, and then there's this little game you guys may have heard of. I think it's World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I've dabbled in it.
Yeah. Every now and then I still go back to it.
I played that consistently for 10 years, and then it's been on and off in the last few years. But I raided pretty much from late classic until, what was it, Cataclysm, when Deathwing killed my guild. And I'm like, all right, I've been doing this for 10 years. I think I'm done with raiding.
Yeah, there's some fatigue that comes with it, especially if you're doing it on a more hardcore level. So.
Oh my god, yeah, that's really, really got me. But you know what? I would not take back any of that. And you know what? WoW Twitter is where I met you two.
It is, huh? Yep.
Yeah, we used to go. I mean, there was a whole huge subset of a couple hundred people or so who used to talk all the time about World of Warcraft and what we're doing. And you know, I miss those days sometimes.
I think it still exists, but it's just it's a whole another mess now. You know, Twitter's evolved a lot over the last decade as well.
That's for dang sure. I still talk to a lot of those people, and I've met a lot of those people, and I met so many of them at BlizzCon. Like, I've met you guys twice now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have.
And let's see. Now there's this game called Overwatch that I've been pretty much has taken over my life since it was released. Between the, you know, the game is fun itself, but it also turned into my job, where I have started doing social media for Overbuff, and then I started doing support for them, and now I'm starting to do content creation for them. And we've gone to BlizzCon, and now I recently went down to the launch week of the Overwatch League in California, which was
That's amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, how was that while you were there? Like, I could see on Twitter, you know, watching your updates and everything, and that you were there. But how was it to be there for opening day?
It was so cool. Like, the energy of the entire atmosphere was just like, oh man, I don't know how much of it was small town girl in LA combined with Overwatch going on. I was like, I've been to the only live Overwatch I've ever seen is the World Cup at BlizzCon. And so seeing the Overwatch League and the actual inaugural like match of it and everything in there, oh my god, it was so cool. I don't know how much of you guys have watched, but their setup is Their setup is so cool. They have these massive LED screens that surround half the studio, and they light up and show everything that's going on in game, as well as, you know, like showing who wins in every match and whatever like that. It's also a big screen just to show what's going on. Oh my god. Oh, I could go. it was just really, really cool. And to be able to get like a behind the scenes tour was awesome. They have a really cool press room. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I don't know how many people know this. It's kind of a fact that's been going around for a while that this, the Blizzard Arena is inside the old Johnny Carson studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that's recognizable to me is, cause I used to watch Johnny Carson or I watch all that stuff. And so, I mean, it was kind of a big moment for me right there. But then, during the tour, we got to go backstage, and in one of the meeting rooms, they actually dug out a few of the seats from the original theater and put them in one of their meeting rooms. It's like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. That's awesome.
Like, everybody else in my tour group was probably too young to appreciate it, but I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get this. I gotta get this. I want to sit in there. Oh, and yeah, it was really cool being able to walk around the studio. It's the same studio that Days of Our Lives currently films in. Or like, they're in the same lot. And so I got to, while we were in the back, I got to dodge some of the sets for Days of Our Lives to get to a few places. And I told my mother that, and she's like, oh, did you see this set? Did you see this set? I'm like, I'm sorry, Mom. I don't know. I don't watch Days of Our Lives.
Nice.
Well, if you want to do a Days of Our Lives podcast, I think we could do that too. So
maybe there's a market for that, but I haven't seen it since the Marlena days of the late 90s. I see you two down
there. Oh, no. You're
Marlena with the devil.
I was watching like The Price is Right. And...
Oh, that's what I usually watch too. But let's see. My mom always watched Young and the Restless right after Price is Right. And then it was Days of Our Lives on NBC.
I had friends that watched Days. I don't get it. But I had friends, see? Like male friends too, that would watch Days of Our Lives.
It was big in college for some reason.
Yeah, it was. You know, late 90s, that kind of stuff. Yeah, around that era, mid 90s. I don't get it. But yeah, see? I had lots of people and they talk about it. I'm like, really? Like, come on. So anyway.
Well, I think what we're going to do is talk about Overwatch. So if you guys want to, are ready to get into that, that may be slightly more compelling.
All right. Yeah, so we'll get this stuff out of the way, and then we'll jump back into it.
This is Seriolos from RaidBots.com, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we are doing, we are active on Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD.
Hey, you think you can help me find the beat? I seem to have dropped it.
For an organization called Overwatch, I was the only one who provided an actual Overwatch.
Being in Overwatch wasn't all fun and games, you know. I've seen things that have made my hair stand on end.
Overwatch saved my life. I was a man barely alive, but they were able to rebuild me. They had the technology.
Who watches over Overwatch?
Several regulations boards. Not everything is a silly joke. Deal with it.
No! Wait, sorry. Meant to say, yay!
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah. Daryl comes up with these freaking amazing little bumpers. So.
You got sound clips from Heroes of the Storm, Anna.
Yeah. Well, if you are...
I forgot to play that too.
You definitely know that one. Well, a lot of people wouldn't know that, but so we're going to give you bonus points for that one.
Yes.
Yep. Actually, those are all from Heroes.
I'm the Anna main, so that's what I recognize.
Oh,
right
there
away.
You go.
Oh, shoot, man. I didn't even think to ask you who your main was. You know what? Okay, so before we get into it, I just want to say this. Like, I feel like Overwatch is a game that transcends so many things that we just are used to in our life, like generations and cultures and all these things, because it is without a doubt that when I go out somewhere, if I'm wearing an Overwatch shirt or a coat or anything, somebody will say something to me. And this right now has ranged from, I was at the grocery store the other day with my kids, letting them pick out a donut so they could have that for breakfast the next morning. I'm a great dad like that. So I'm sitting there, we walk up, and there's this kid who looks like he's about 8 years old. And he's sitting there, and he's just like slow motion going through the donuts. And he turns around, and he looks at me, and all of a sudden, he just points at my coat, and he goes, "Who's your main?" And I'm like, "What?" Totally like caught me off guard. I was like, Reaper. And he just smiled, and he was just like, "All right." Like, and then he walked away. I was at Bass Pro Shop not that long ago. I think it was Halloween. We took our kids over there because they had this whole Halloween walkthrough, and it was just easier than dealing with something else. So we walked through there, and there's this lady, this Hispanic lady who looks like she's probably, you know, in her 60s. And she comes up to me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, you know what? I was going to wear my Mercy costume for this, for the for the Halloween event here. She was one of the workers there. And she goes, I was going to wear this Mercy cosplay that I had, but I didn't think anyone would have any idea who it was.
Aww.
And I'm like, what is going on here? This is amazing. Like,
that is amazing.
So I've been gaming for a long time, but Overwatch has something, some sort of quality about it that just like, it breaks down barriers and it doesn't know age. It doesn't know where you're from. It doesn't care. Like everybody, like, if you give it a chance, there's just something about it. Even if you're not good at it, even if you don't play it, like it's just so good.
I completely agree. I have seen so many people from so many different walks of life playing or talking about it or even doing cosplay. When I went to Dragon Con, there was an older gal playing Symmetra. And I mean, just so many people doing so many different costumes alone was so cool. And the number of friends I've met from all over, it's almost like Warcraft days happening again in Overwatch, where you're just meeting so many different people from so many different walks of life, and it's so cool.
I know, my wife's always like, when we go somewhere, I always put on, like, it's been chilly lately, so I'll put on, like, an Overwatch coat, and she's like, you have other coats, you know. I'm like, no, I know.
I like the attention.
but this one.
yeah, nice. When,
last year, I would wear my Overwatch jacket, and people like, yeah, cool. This, and I started wearing my Overwatch League jacket. Not a single person has said a single thing yet. I'm like, oh,
give it time. I think people are still figuring out what League is. So
I suppose it's only been 2 weeks.
Well, speaking of League, for those who've maybe been living under a rock or don't know, or I know the whole thing was announced at BlizzCon. What was it, 2015? For people who have no idea what's going on with Overwatch League, Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So the Overwatch League is Blizzard's attempt to make a major esport out of Overwatch. What I would tell people who are not video gamers, I tell them that basically they're kind of making the NFL of this video game, where instead of the usual different organizations, like you hear names like Cloud9 or Kangarna or various weird names that make no sense to you.
Yeah, Tempo Storm.
Yeah, Tempo Storm or Optic Gaming, whatnot. And like, what does that mean to most people? They have no idea. And so Blizzard was like, hey, we're going to set up this league where we have regional teams. We have Boston, we have London, Miami, LA, and whatnot, and so forth. And we're gonna get some major organizations in this. So we got the Kraft Group, who do New England football, I think it is. I'm not too keen up on the traditional sports, but they ask a bunch of owners from professional leagues, and even Shaq and JLo are investing in the San Francisco Shock. They got all these big names to put down at least $20 million to invest in the Overwatch League. Each city has
That's a lot.
That is. That's amazing.
And we're probably going to have more for season two if season one does even remotely decently. So we have 12 teams, 12 people, or 12 groups who have all volunteered $20 million to have an investment. And they're well aware that this will be a multi-year thing. They're not going to get their return on investment in the first year unless something major happens. So Blizzard is trying out this new thing that has been done in the past, but poorly, and it never succeeded. And we're hoping this one does. They've never had this huge of a backing before.
Well, even
so, go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, even for broadcast rights, because that's a big thing in professional sports too. Like, NHL, there's like one network that'll have all the broadcast rights, or NFL, you know, it's a big deal. And they've done that with Twitch here and Overwatch League. And I think it was something I had heard, like $90 million that Twitch paid to have a 2-year exclusive deal. And that's only 2 years, right? So that's $45 million per year to have the broadcast rights for that. Like this is blowing up quickly too. Like it's incredible how it's gotten off to a great start, I think.
Absolutely. You know, Blizzard didn't even have to do Twitch. I mean, I want to say they had to, but that's something else. They have their own broadcasting service called
Gaming. Partnered with MLG, right?
Yeah, because they own it.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that they bought it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's ago, right. So. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. But, 2 + 2 = 4. Right, gotcha.
But by going with Twitch, they have the benefit of Twitch chat. But
you say benefit.
But Twitch has a much larger audience, despite the actually, honestly, the MLG has an extremely high quality stream, but Twitch has the larger audience. And so Twitch is like, hey, let us give you a bunch of money for the exclusive rights. And maybe we can give out, Overwatch League points so people can buy skins in game. And they're like, yeah, that's a cool idea. And that hasn't come to fruition yet, but it will soon.
Okay. Daryl and I were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, what happened to the points and all that?
I think it's a Blizzard quote unquote soon.
Ah, copy that.
When it's ready.
So there we go. All right, so we're talking about this, and you had mentioned earlier that your only exposure to a live event prior to Overwatch League was at BlizzCon. Now, was what we were watching at BlizzCon, was that the same thing as League, or I know
that was a
I know there was okay. It was more like Team Canada, Team Dump Truck. Yeah, I don't even know what.
Yeah, so what you experienced was the Overwatch World Cup, which is a completely separate entity. Year one was for the World Cup was in 2016, and they had the fan base just vote whoever they wanted to represent their country. So that meant you'd get a bunch of streamers on one team. Team France had Rogue, which was a professional esports team. So you had these pro players against just streamers.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then like in the Korean team, Team Korea, they had Lunatic High, which was one of the most highly rated teams in the world, if not the highly rated. And so it was pretty much a wash. Like there was no chance anyone had of beating the South Koreans. And so next year they're like, we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to let people put themselves up for.
Like a nomination.
Election.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we will represent our countries. And so they did that. And then the selection committees. That's the one. And then once they had the selection committees chosen, they would choose the players that they thought best represented who were both in their country and who they thought would be the best teams. And so that was the 2017 one. And we had a much more competitive atmosphere for the Overwatch World Cup for this year. And so that's what you were seeing this year was a completely different thing than the Overwatch League, even though there are a lot of the same players.
So it went from being like kind of a fun kind of, I don't know, was there a prize pool or?
Now I'm drawing a blank, I believe.
Because I know Daryl and I did catch some of the games that. The original one and with the first BlizzCon that featured a World Cup and then of course this last year, but I don't know, it feels like Overwatch League is taking it to a whole new level, right? It's not quite the meme event, I guess, of getting wrecked by a professional team if you're paired up with some of your streamer friends, you know.
No, yeah, this is definitely something completely different where Overwatch League, you have these same 12 teams who all week long, they just scrim or practice with each other, get better and better. And in hopes of come June, I think it's June, yeah, they win in the finals for, oh my gosh, I'm going to look this up here. A boatload of money, I think, is the estimated value.
Nice.
But yeah, so whoever wins the first year, it's going to have a big, huge honor. They're going to get a boatload of cash and go down on history. I mean, as this, the first winners of this big, huge experiment.
Well, even still, like, even if they don't win, like, that's how I understand they've set this up is that the players, even right now, are drawing a salary. Is that correct?
Yep. Each player has a minimum guaranteed of $50,000.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. Like, it's mirroring an actual, like a real physical sports league. Like they're doing everything the same, setting it up and hopefully that drives it for success, right? Because, these players are able to make a living doing this, playing in this league. So it's still pretty amazing. Like, I'm still blown away by how this is actually working out.
Yeah, something Blizzard wanted to make sure they did was help make the atmosphere stable. Esports can be very, very troublesome because, you know, when your earnings are purely based on tournament results, that's a huge possibility of ebb and flow of no income for a few months, especially if there's no tournament. And so they wanted to make sure there's consistency to help players out there. And they also forced all these teams to provide the $50,000. They provide health insurance and retirement plans. They must provide housing, and they must provide a practice space. And so
that all sounds good. But what's the shelf life of a pro?
Well, gamer? Overwatch is kind of young, but you know, in a lot of games, there is high turnover rate. You're looking at tends to be 1 to 3 years in other games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm not that old. I'm pretty old, but I'm not that old. And there's no way that like. Even if I, you know, practiced all day long and did my best and did all this stuff, there's no way. Like, I just could not compete with somebody half my age that, you know, that this is like, you know, second nature to them.
We are at a disadvantage, my friend.
Yes.
But yeah, okay, so I got the prize pools here. First place winners get $300,000 for their team. Then it goes 200, 150, 100 and down. So even last place gets $25,000 just for their team for participation points.
Nice.
And that's not including bonuses I think teams will provide and maybe Blizzard will provide for individual performance. Words is hard all of a sudden.
Right.
So yeah, it's a buttload of money for hopefully something that's going to last.
So I've watched, like Rob had mentioned, the first year they had the World Cup at BlizzCon, Rob and I went in there. And we watched a match, and I couldn't tell what was going on. You know,
yeah, it was like Sweden versus somebody.
Yeah, you'd hear, you know, something would happen on the screen, and people would cheer and go, "Ooh!" And like, but what just happened? Like, I had a real trouble following. And then this year at the World Cup, they improved things drastically. So I was able to, you know, tell what was going on, and for the most part, there's still some things I'm not clear on. And then even now that we're into the actual league, I have some questions.
And, absolutely.
You know, it's, I'm able to watch it now. Like I've watched it quite a few times and the TV I have has an app that allows me to bring up Twitch streams and it's like clear and it's perfect and I love it. So I've been watching on my 55 inch TV in the living room with my kids. And that's okay. Sidebar. Something I've always, like, I have a football team in the CFL that I love. Like, I'm a diehard fan, the Riders. And all I've ever wanted since my kids were born is for them to sit and watch sports with me. And now, my kids are sitting and watching sports with me. But it's esports. Aww. But I don't care. Like, this weekend, my kids sat there and watched some Heroes matches with me. Earlier in the week, we were watching Overwatch League. So it's great. If we're finally there. I don't care that it's esports because I enjoy that too. But anyway. Let's get back to
that's so cool. Awesome. No, the fact that you like you don't distinguish, you just say like I like all this stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it's great. I'll still watch my football by myself, whatever. But they're watching this with me now. So the questions I have are: how do these teams win? So
okay,
you know the scoring because I know like the first match is I think it's a certain kind of map. And I saw, you know, one game go and it was 2-1 and one team won. But then I saw another one. I wasn't watching closely. I just caught the score, but it ended up going like 8-9-8. So I don't even understand how that happened. So can you go through each, like the first map they play, second, third, fourth, and then I believe there's a fifth that's if they need it for a tiebreaker, but what the maps are and how you score points on them?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, how are we going to get started here? First, I'm going to pull up a list of a match.
I think some of the games are easier to follow than others. You know,
oh, for when sure.
when it's escorting the payload, you know what they're doing, right?
Yes. So, okay. Well, we'll go through them in series. Okay. The first map that is always going to happen for this stage. The Overwatch League is separated into four stages. Every basically month and a half, they have the same pool of maps, so the players all can practice the same set.
Okay.
And so that's why you're going to see lots of repeats. You're not going to see a lot of the maps you know from playing the game. You're going to see like the same, basically, 5 or 6 maps over and over again.
Okay.
And so, all right. So each time they're going to play 4 maps. First map is always a payload map. Payload, the objective is to get the vehicle from one side of the map to the other for the attackers. The defenders are trying to stop them from getting to the end of the map. Each map is separated by like sections. So if the attacking team gets the payload to point A, they no longer, I mean, that's their, first objective. Kind of like a what's a mini objective or okay. Checkpoint. There we go. Checkpoint.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so you have X amount of time to get to the checkpoint. And then you have X amount of time to get to the next checkpoint. And if you have time left on the clock, or every time you hit the checkpoint, you get a new bank of time. Like you get to the checkpoint, you get 3 more minutes to get this to the next area. And when you get to, so each time you get to a checkpoint, you get a point. And so like first we have our payload, get to checkpoint 1, bam, there's a point. Get to checkpoint 2, there's a point. Get to the end, there's 3. Okay. And now it switches sides, and defenders are now attacking, and they're doing the same thing. If they get to the end and they get 3 points again, then we have to start over kind of and try again because they had a tie so far. We have to break that tie. And then we get into the nuances. If a team runs out of time and they're running on overtime, which is their, if you basically in the game is if you're too far away from the objective, you're not helping the team. So if you're in overtime, if you get off the cart, overtime starts ticking away and, you basically can lose if too many people jump off the cart. And so there's this whole metagame of trying to, even if you know the enemy team is going to get to the end, you just want to try to eat up as much of the clock as possible because if they have 0 and the end, they don't get to try again, on the next round. So basically there's, you have the first main goal is just get to the end. Your second goal is to eat away at the clock of your enemy. And that's how you kind of the points are based. And if you have time left over, you get to use that extra time to try again. Hopefully that will leave some.
So that's why there was a higher score because, so they must have had like lots of time left over, both teams then.
Yep. One of the first weeks, the Dallas Fuel versus Seoul Dynasty, I think they had a map that was 8-7 or 9-8. Yeah, because
see, I think that's the one I saw. Like, I just saw the score. I didn't see the match itself. I just saw the score. I'm like, well, I don't even get how that was so high. I've never seen one like that before. I didn't understand what was going on. And the if you have time left over, you get to try again to get more points.
And that's exactly what it was. And so they just kept steamrolling each other and kept going and going and going. So that was the second map type, which is called Capture. There's Capture maps. You have 2 objective points to capture one before the other. So you have point A at the grab. You have point A you need to grab, and once you capture A, you need to move on to point B. And then you get your 2 points. And then the other team switch, they do it too.
Okay.
And then map 3 is also a King of the Hill map. It's called, what do they call it in game? Control.
Okay.
Where each team tries to get a capture percentage of 100%. First team to do that wins. And that one, hopefully, pretty standard. It's best of 3, so there's never a tie in this mode.
Oh, okay. So that's different than the one before it, because the one before it, you each take turns capturing one point, then the next point.
Yep.
And this one, King of the Hill. I like how you describe that as King of the Hill. Okay.
It makes a little more sense than their terms of control.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Where, and yeah, then control. The last map type.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Thanks. Cool. And the last map type is called Hybrid, where it's a little bit of the capture, where you have to get a point, but the point is a payload. So you basically have to capture the payload and then push it to the end. So it's a little mixture of the other 2 games.
Oh, really?
2 to 3 games. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a map like that.
Yeah, Eichenwald and Numbani are those. You capture the payload and then you push it.
Oh.
Where maps like
is that what payload. The Blizzard World map is going to be?
Yep, that's what it is.
Okay, because we were running around on there before we started, and I was like, this has got to be a payload map, but it doesn't start till over here. So.
Yep. So yeah, it combines the capture and payload maps.
Okay.
So that's Overwatch maps in a nutshell.
Okay, so what happens if at the end of 4 maps, they're tied?
So Overwatch League, basically, I'll get to that in a second. The way they determine who's the leader is who has the most series wins. Like four maps, you mean, that means you have a four score of four. Whereas it's also, so it can be kind of confusing. Well, how can you have a winner if you have a tie? So they do have to go to a tiebreaker round. If our score is 2-2, they go to a tiebreaker round. So there is a winner of the series. Oh, I incorrectly said something earlier. I said the 4-0 means they have 4 points. No, it means they have 1 point in their series win. So they need to do a tiebreaker. So there's always a winner.
Okay.
And if they need to, if someone has happened to be tied, then they go by number of maps won total. So like say...
There's always a way to break the tie.
Yeah. So basically say in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, Soul and London Spitfire have the exact same score. Then we switch down to maps and how many maps you've won to see who is the leader.
Okay. Gotcha.
So yeah, there's so basically it goes how many series you've won. And if we need to, we use maps as a backup. Or total maps.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's definitely going to help, like just on how you get points in each, like, as I'm watching it. Because I was confused the first week, like, completely confused. I'm like, I don't even get how they're getting points. Like, okay, they won this, but then how come the other teams... Because I love the idea of Overwatch, but I'm terrible at it, so I haven't played it in probably since the first Halloween event with Witch Mercy, like, when she came out. I seriously think that's the last time. And that was, like, a year and a half ago. Oh, so that's goodness. The last time I've played Overwatch, I think. Watching Overwatch League is making me want to play, so I'm probably going to start playing some more.
That's what happened with Heroes, too.
It's working.
It is working. But yeah, so the first week, like, I was completely confused. And then, actually, my son, he was pointing stuff out. I'm like, well, how did they get a point there? Like, what happened there? So he was explaining some of this to me, too. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I kind of get that. But I still had to ask the question. So, that's for sure. Just for content.
I also did go into something. If you attack and the enemy team stops you, when they switch sides, that team only has to get as far as the original team did.
So, like, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So they only push the payload 25 feet. Your team only has to get 25 feet and 1 inch.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, and the same with the capture. If they only get like X percent, you need to reach that point one more. So that way the game's a little shorter, or, you know, you just don't have to work as far. You did well in defending, so you don't need to work as hard to win.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I know we talked a little bit about the couple of methods to watch that if you've got Twitch or I don't know what channel it's on TV, the MLG stuff. I haven't had regular TV in years.
It's not on television, to my knowledge. Overwatch League yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the another method that I found here that works pretty well. I wish it were Chromecast compatible, but is the actual there's an Overwatch League official app.
Yeah.
That app is kind of amazing.
I'll go for it. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to ask you if you've used that and what's your experience with that? Because far it is, I love it.
It is slick, isn't it? I've been able to, if I'm away from home, I've been able to watch some matches on my phone, much to the chagrin of people I'm hanging out with. I'm like, I'm sorry, the Spitfire, I'm playing, I need to watch. Just like people be like, no, I got to watch this sports ball game. But I love it. My only complaint about it is I constantly have to re-log in.
Oh, sure I haven't had that. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be affect everybody, but it does affect some people. And so me, I'm like, I can't stay logged in, which thankfully logging in doesn't help you too much other than being able to save your favorites, like which team you want to follow. But yeah, otherwise, no, this is awesome. Standings, you can watch live shows on it and can see players. And so, and read the articles from overwatchleague.com. I'm like a total shill right now for them.
Yeah, it is it's a really, I don't know, I know we're kind of fanning out a little bit over it, but it is a really, I'm really, really impressed. You know, like Daryl was mentioning earlier, the very first BlizzCon we sat in and watched, it was fun and I enjoyed it. And, you know, I think I'm a little more invested in playing than Daryl is, but it was, you know, it was a little hard to follow. And then the next year it was like, wow, man, they've totally, totally upped their game here. And
we didn't even cover that.
And James was talking about, you know, some of the technology they use to, to, you know, how they, he took us, at BlizzCon took us back behind the stages and showed us how everything worked, and it was just incredible. And then now Overwatch League comes out, and it's like they've upped the bar even more. And I feel like some of it is a little rough to watch if you are not really in the know. But I think for the most part, you could sit down with somebody. I could sit down with my wife, or her parents, or a friend, or whoever, and kind of give them the quick overview, and they could really understand what's going on.
Yeah, I got to introduce my mother to Overwatch League a few weeks ago. She stopped by my house unexpectedly after I came back from LA, and she's like, "What do you even do?" I'm like, "Okay, sit down. We're gonna watch."
That's awesome.
We're gonna watch the Outlaws play, and so I introduced her to Overwatch and told her what was going on screen. She's like, "You know what? I don't think it's for me, but I could follow along with your help. So I'm gonna go show Dad." Okay, cool.
That's awesome. So awesome.
You mentioned the viewing experience. They have improved that so much with just the when you first watched, it was always red team versus blue team, and confusing as all heck. So what they did is they did these cool uniforms. Everyone wears uniforms.
I love that.
And they have home and away colors, so it's much easier to tell who is who. Even the abilities have colors of their team. Like instead of Mercy's yellow heel stream, it's red if she's the dragons or something like that.
And the UI is really made over with the team colors, so you know immediately you're watching a player. You could see that green, and you go, "Okay, that's the Outlaws. I know who that is." And it's very easy to see who you're rooting for and what teams you're looking at and kind of what's going on.
Yeah, it can be difficult, especially if you're a newbie trying to follow along with Genji or Tracer. And because they are very back. The observers have also improved so much in the last year, just learning how to follow the game and being able to tell the story without following Tracer around constantly.
Like you mentioned the uniforms, that's the one thing I really noticed, and I really think is cool that they did, because each team, they're wearing all their colors, and I did notice that they had the home and away, because I watched the Shock and Fusion, and they've both got primarily orange. But then I think it was Shock. They were wearing more white. I'm like, "Oh, that's like totally like regular sports, because it's an away jersey." I'm like, that blew my mind that they did that. I didn't even realize they were going to do something like that until I was watching that game, and it's like, wow! I was so impressed. I was really impressed.
Yeah. Like one's like kind of white with a little orange tint to it.
Yeah,
and the other one's
it was straight awesome.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
well
so
done.
Good.
And something I didn't realize they were doing until I was at the Overwatch League in person is the players themselves even have away colors. Like I knew they
their jerseys and all
I
that.
Didn't even catch that, man.
Yeah.
It's so good, man. It is really down to the detail. It is really like everything has been thought out. It reflects professional sports in a lot of ways, traditional sports, out whatever you want to call it, but like when you're watching football and your favorite team's playing, and they got their white jersey on instead of their green one, it's you know exactly what you're looking at.
For sure.
One of my favorite tidbits about the Overwatch League in person. Some people may have read the articles, but I helped my friend kind of get some information here. So at first day in Overwatch League, there was a expanded press area because we had so much of us there. Well, my friend got there late, and the staff accidentally guided her to the wrong area, to the normal press room. And so she accidentally kind of fell into a tour by Overwatch League Commissioner Nate Nanzer, who was talking about some things. She's like, "Oops, I'm not supposed to be here, but okay, I'm just going to kind of hang out here for a bit." And so he was talking. So above the audience in the studio is this what they call the halo above the audience. You can catch it on stream every now and then.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, what it does is during a match, it will fill with a capture percentage of whatever the team is doing on attacking team is doing.
Wow.
On game. It's awesome. But Nate Nanzer was talking. He's like, "I got so many questions. Like, wow, what is the API like for controlling that?" And he tells this group that actually, no, it's actually done manually. There is no API for it. But so there actually is a human who controls this meter on top of the building all day long. And they call him API in honor of what everyone thinks is an API nice. Running it.
That's amazing. Awesome.
And you can totally tell when you're in person that, oh yeah, that is not exactly matching what's going on. Sometimes like they'll lag or like you'll see them all of a sudden speed up because they got behind or something like that. So that's one of my favorite little tidbits. If you go in person, take a look and watch that.
That's awesome. I didn't even know the Halo did. Like, I hadn't caught that part, but that's really cool that they do that.
Hey, it's hard to see on the camera, but and if you can catch it, it's pretty neat.
They thought of everything. My goodness.
Yeah, they did.
All right. Well, I don't know if I have any more questions right now. Rob, do you have any more?
I can tell you one more thing from the tour.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, actually, a few more things. Nate Nanzer's office is Jay Leno's old office. I haven't got to go with
that. Ah, that's so cool.
That's cool.
We go in there and a guy, Nate Nanzer's sitting there working. And our tour guide just walks us right in while he's working. Like, I feel kind of rude. But he's like, yeah, there's a working shower and there's a bathroom back there. I never use the shower, though. I don't have time. And he's like, I also don't have the cars. I don't get paid enough. Like, he must get all these questions because he had his rapid fire response to nothing, things nice. No one even asked.
Yeah, that's good.
Then I wish I had written down the LEDs. I have pictures of the thing behind the screens. This massive LED like display back there. It's not TVs, but it's this massive set. I don't know idea how much went into that, but it's a buttload of money. But apparently, they also stream, you know, everything out. We have just capturing all the data, all the streams, like the English stream, the Korean team or stream, the French stream, all this data. Mm-hmm. And all this data they're collecting. By the end of the season, what was the right term? I think it was 18 petabytes of information will be stored or sent. Like, that's petabyte. That's a boatload.
That is an incredible amount of data.
I know too, as English American, as Americans, this doesn't mean much, but petabyte is a buttload. So yeah, not even petabyte. Exabytes, 18 exabytes of data.
I don't even know how much that is, but it sounds like a lot.
Well, it goes gigabyte, terabyte, petabyte, exabyte. So think about that.
That's insane.
It's one of those numbers that's incomprehensible to understand until you see it like, written out.
The quality in the stream is just incredible. And I know that if they're doing it right. This is one of those things that you know, in Blizzard fashion where it's like you're not going to find... They're not going to be one-upped by somebody else. They have gone all out. The screens wrapping around the arena, the quality in the UI, the quality in the viewing experience, just the way that everything's presented from the casters to the you know, just the streams. It is a pretty amazing experience. And as much as I don't play a ton of Overwatch and I don't, you know, I like it. I'm just not good at it. And, you know, I'm invested in a lot of different games at this point. It is something that I enjoy watching tremendously. Like, I'm just sitting there, whether it's on my phone or whether I put it on the big TV or whatever it is, or you know, the app allows you to watch matches, like, pretty much on demand. So it's just an amazing experience.
Yeah, I highly recommend, like, if you're in California near Burbank, totally go see it in person. It's $20 for a day and you can go watch three matches.
That's
kind of on my list of things I definitely need to do.
For sure.
Well, you said that was it for you, Daryl. No more questions?
No, I think I've got it. Like, I was the points thing, that was my biggest question. I've got that figured out now, so I'm good.
Good, I'm happy to help.
Well, Sabriel, was there any other points you wanted to make for us? I know you had mentioned London. Was that your main
London
team?
Spitfire is my team that I'm cheering for. I love Birdring, who is a DPS player there. He's amazing. And they also have Prophet, who is really good. So cheer them on. Go Spitfire. Ace is high.
That's their hashtag. I know. I've been flip-flopping around a little bit. I live in Texas, and there are a couple of teams here in Texas, and I had initially kind of leaned into the Dallas Fuel, and they've been not off to a super strong start. But I don't know,
man. That's pretty good, mildly. But they will get their groove back. But
there's something about London, though, that's making me maybe think that that's where I need to hang my hat.
Well, it's because you've had English guy, I'm drawing, James. We're both. Missy and I, his wife. We were all cheering for Spitfire when I was down there.
Nice.
It's easy to find the for it to be contagious when when you have friends that are rooting for a team that's doing well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
While we record this, Blizzard World just came out in Overwatch today with tons of skins from throughout the properties of Overwatch, or excuse me, of Blizzard.
Yes, I noticed there's a bunch of, like, you know, we were saying before we started, there's a lot of other Blizzard games mixed into this batch of skins, and it is phenomenal.
Yeah, the new map they released, Blizzard World, is basically futuristic amusement park for Blizzard, where you start in Stormwind Castle, in Stormwind, and you attack, get the payload, and then you push it through the StarCraft experience, and then you push it into Leoric's castle at the end.
Which is so awesome. It is amazing. Yeah. So there was a Nova skin for Widowmaker. Yeah. There is a Magni skin for Torbjorn. There was a Blackhand skin for Doomfist. There's a lot of nods and throwbacks to some of the other Blizzard IPs, and it is really cool. And it is one of the first times that I have been inspired to spend all that currency that I've been sitting on some of these amazing skins. So.
Nice.
And they're all part of the base loot pack. There's no special event for these, so you can just get them whenever.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, yeah. I was looking at them because a lot of times they're only available until a certain point. There was a couple of skins I wish I would have gotten, you know, when they were current, but yeah, that's good to know that these are just you know, part of the base pack.
Absolutely. And if you get the opportunity, go back and explore and just check everything out. The only game that I could not find a reference for was Rock and Roll Racing.
Okay. I don't know.
It's not in there. I've looked. But they did have a Lost Vikings reference in there.
Where was that one at?
When you are the attackers, go left, and it's the Lost and Found Vikings. For the Lost and Found.
Yeah, so good. Oh, nice. Yep, so good.
That's awesome.
Some of my other favorite parts in there was the ride to Duskwood or to Westfall, where there's a little ride in there, like a little griffin.
Ride a little flight mount, the flight point guy. Yeah.
And then there's Snaxoramus.
Yeah, Snaxoramus.
That's probably my favorite part, because you can go in and order some death wings and.
Snaxoramus, I love the name, exists because a lot of people wanted to name their new cafeteria that, but it was kind of shot down. So like, all right, we're going to make this exist and we're going to put it in a game instead.
I believe for the Blizzard cafeteria, it was Snaxoramus versus Zul Grub. But but I don't know. I think they would have just kept a more traditional name.
Yeah, boo.
Well,
go check out Blizzard World if you get a chance.
Absolutely. It is live, not PTR. It is in game now. It is worth checking out. Even if you feel like you're not like super awesome at it, you can go in and create a custom match and just don't put any other characters in it. Just go in yourself and poke around. Daryl and I were doing that before we started tonight. Yeah. And there's a lot of little nooks and crannies and very cool stuff. You could shoot Probius out of the sky, and it's a good feeling. So. Well, Sabriel, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, that is all.
Awesome. Well, if you have not already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests you've heard on the show, like Sabriel. That is discord.me/TTD. And if you like what we're doing, and if you'd like us to help keep the content flowing, please check out or Patreon over at patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligations, no nothing, just a little bit to help us float the costs here, because it is not free. Just, if you like it, throw a couple bucks, throw a nickel at it, whatever. We're just here to have a good time.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person...
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got this week?
Definitely Sabriel for coming on and talking some Overwatch League with us. It's been a while since we've had an actual official Overwatch show, so that was very, very, very cool. Definitely you, Daryl, for putting together these awesome bumpers. You every single time, I love them. Dude, I absolutely love them. And the raid team, man, we have made a pretty full easy mode stomp through Antorus now, and we're going to figure out where to go from there, whether we want to step up the difficulty or start bringing in alts or whatever that looks like. So props to the raid team. Thank you for all your hard work. Oh, yeah, Daryl, I suppose you've got something.
Yes. I want to give a shout out to our buddy Kranos. He's doing some work behind the scenes for us on something we're planning to do here in the near future. So, and he's doing, as always, an excellent job. He's the one who's done our current website, and he's going above and beyond on this latest thing. So a big shout out to Kranos. And yeah, of course, Sabriel, thanks for coming on and talking Overwatch League for us and helping me clear up some of the point systems. That was probably the biggest questions I had. And that definitely helped me understand how the scoring works. Sabriel, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Oh my goodness. You guys for having me. Thank you so much. This has been a blast. Anytime I get to chat about Overwatch, I'm all in. But otherwise, I just thank you for everyone for listening. Thank you for listening and putting up with my blabbing and going on and on.
Absolutely.
It's all good. All good.
Well, I guess before we wrap that up, Sabriel, where can people reach you or find you if they have any more questions about this topic or anything else? Overwatch or Rocket Racer?
Rock and Roll Racing?
Rock and Roll Racing related.
You can find me on Twitter at Sabriality. Or if you are like me and can never spell that when I'm asked, just go to sabriel.me and that will send you links to everything I do online from performances, appearances, to things I've written in my portfolio, or just all my socials.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 195 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust. From people you shouldn't.
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Oh, well, who can blame you? Thanks for all the love and support.
At patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?